would like us to open our Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, I'm going to be reading chapter 1, right from verse 18. You, chapter number 1, I'll read from verse 18. So this is going to be a kind of a complimentary, this passage is going to complement the one that had already been read by Chantel. Before we go into the word, Matthew chapter number 1, I'll read from verse 18. We're continuing with our series, Loud and Clear. As a matter of fact, we're going to bring it to a close today, Loud and Clear. We started that a couple of weeks ago. Matthew chapter number 1, I'll read from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about those things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn Jesus, or rather our firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And he called his name Jesus. Let us pray. Eternal Father that commands light to shine out of darkness. This morning, Lord, as we gather around your word, let light shine upon our heart, O God. Let there be illumination. Lord, let this word bring refreshing to our heart. Let it direct, let it correct, let it reprove in righteousness. Let it give us instruction in righteousness. Lord, that which we know not, you teach us this morning. That which we are not in you, you make us this morning. That which we have not, you give us this morning. I ask, O Lord, that you anoint the ears and the heart of your people so that, Lord, they will receive this word with the same accuracy with which it is going to be delivered. I ask that you anoint me and you think through my mind and speak through my mouth. Make my tongue to become like the pen of a ready writer. Let the word be inscribed in the heart of your people. Let it flow out of me like a stream of living water, in accuracy and in power and simplicity, in the love and in the comfort of the Spirit of the Lord. So that together at the end of this service, all of us will have been transformed by your word. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say a big amen. Loud and clear, we started this a couple of weeks ago, 6-7 weeks ago, and today is going to be the fifth installment of this message, and that's what we're going to be using to wrap it up. This morning, I'm going to be speaking to you by the grace of God on a message I've titled, Christmas, His Voice and Life Interrupted. Christmas, His Voice and Life Interrupted. Christmas, His Voice, and Life Interrupted. Now, during the first Christmas, like I mentioned a short while ago, there was a sudden burst of activity, you know, of angelic activity, as it were. There was a lot of movement of the angels in the heaven, and of course, that led to the encounters that people had with the angelic being. At the first Christmas, by that I mean that was when Jesus was born, because Jesus is at the center of Christmas. Forget about what people have made out of it these days. Jesus is the center of Christmas, not Santa, not those glittering lights, you know, not Christmas tree. Jesus is actually at the center of Christmas. And at the first Christmas, as Jesus was being, as God was preparing to bring forth his son into the world, there was a burst of activity. And just like we have a burst of activity around us in Christmas, cooking, dining, connecting with friends, traveling, Facebooking at an increased level. Don't look at anybody, just look straight at me, okay? there was a burst of activity in the first Christmas as well. Now, the difference at that time was that there was first a celestial burst of activity of angelic ministration before you have the terrestrial activities. In other words, the angels were the one that were given the assignment, and they rejoiced over it. In Luke chapter number 2, the passage we have just read, there was rejoicing in the heavens, you know, amongst the angels. And of course, that spilled over, as it were, to the earth. There was a burst of activity in the heavens. There was a burst of activity on the earth. Mary was moving. Joseph was moving. The shepherds were moving. People got to know about the story. And all that happened. Now, but I need to let you know that the first Christmas was marked by the voice of God. The first Christmas came and rode on the back or on the platform of God's voice. God's voice was involved. God did not speak directly. He sent his angels to speak to man. And that was what started the first Christmas. There was a communication, as it were, from the heavens to the earth. There was a meeting of the earth and the heavens and before Jesus was born. And that is very important, because even today, the center of Christmas it has to do with the meeting of the heaven and of the earth. And the angels of the Lord came and he spoke. They spoke to Mary, he spoke to Joseph. The angel of the Lord spoke to the shepherd as they were watching their flock by night. To you, it may not make so much of a difference, because you say, well, the angels have always spoken to people in times past. I wish angels could speak to me now. You know, we dealt with that a couple of weeks ago, that the tone have changed. You know, the season has changed. And even now, you can have angelic ministration here and there, but it's not the order of the day. It's not the rule anymore. It's the exception of the matter. And we dealt with that a couple of weeks ago. But I just want you to reflect back on what it was in the first Christmas, in the first Christmas that Jesus, when Jesus was born, that the angelic ministration was not just normal, it was not natural, it was not something that was happening. For your information, for 400 years before Jesus was born, in the period called the Dark Ages, there was no prophetic voice in Israel. There was no prophet that was raised at all. So there was no thus saith the Lord in the present tense. For them, all they relied upon was what the prophet has spoken, the prophet Moses and Samuel, and a lot of them have spoken for 400 years, specifically 397 BC, when Malachi, that famous book that not many people in church like because of a single reason. What's that? Tight. When you say Malachi, it's like, oh, is he still in the Bible? Yeah, he's still there. Well, when Malachi spoke, 397 BC, and afterwards, there was silence. That's why they call it the period of prophetic silence. There was no voice, no thus says the Lord for 400 years. And then all of a sudden you had this burst of activity, and there was God began to speak to people. So that was a big thing to them. That was a real big thing. Because for generations upon generations, they have not had thus says the Lord. And then God began to speak to men, and he spoke with this young lady called Mary, and he spoke with this young man called Joseph. And the shepherds, who were supposed to be non-entities in the land, even had the angels speak to them. It was all of a sudden, they were in awe of what was happening. In fact, they were terrified, and they ran, the Bible says, in haste. Because this was not normal. It was a completely different phenomenon that they were experiencing. Because for, like I said, 400 years, they had not experienced any thus says the Lord in the present tense. So it was a big thing to them. Now, but I want you to appreciate that at this time that the voice of the Lord came to them at the first Christmas, something happened that always, more often than not, comes with the voice of God when it comes to man. And what exactly is that? There was an interruption of the lives of some people by the reason of that voice that came to them. There was there was a major event that happened in the lives of these people that made their lives to be interrupted. You say, what do I mean? Because this was a young lady that was preparing to get married, and all of a sudden, her life became interrupted by the voice of God. That happened at the first Christmas. This was a young man that was preparing to marry a young woman, and his life became interrupted by the voice. Why did I say that? Because their lives never remained the same after that encounter. And even today, with the voice of God coming to us, it brings interruption. And when I say interruption, sometimes it doesn't just mean it's a detour. It's not like you're just, you know, when you have a roadblock and there is some construction work taking place, they will put a sign, you know, of diversion, and then you can join the line on the other side. How many people understand what I'm talking about? But at this time, the interruption that took place was not a detour to join the line, to join the main road on the other hand. It was a complete disturbance of the status quo, and it changed their lives forever. And that was the interruption that happened. You need to understand the marriage in the Jewish marriage at this time for you to appreciate how much of interruption that was brought to the lives of these people. Now, in the Jewish custom, marriage doesn't just happen all of a sudden like we have it in our days. You know, you can marry a girl, you can see a girl in the morning and get married in the evening. You know, technically, you know, say how many years have you been dating? Not years. How many months? Not months. How many days? Not days. How many hours? Okay, 12 hours. We met at 10, and we were getting married at 10 at 8 p.m. You know, it wasn't like that in their day. All right, it was a long process. And basically, there are steps that you need to take to get married to a girl in their day and time. I'll just break it down to three major ones. The first one is what we call engagement. Engagement in their own time is not the engagement that we have now. The engagement in their own time is such that the parents of the boy involved will go to the parent of another girl, of the girl, and they will say, we want this girl for our son. You know, so there will be an agreement amongst the parents of the marriage. The boy and the girl involved may not even be involved. They may not even know about it. You know, I've got a girl for you, and they will just get the girl. Okay, so that's engagement. All right, this girl is going to marry our boy, and the two of them, the father especially, will shake hands and they will hug and. And they will just, so that they've already began the process, even without the knowledge of the guys, the boy and the girl involved. That's engagement in their own sense. Now, and that may go on for a few years or whatever the case may be, and then they have a period that is called a period of betrothal. The period of betrothal is not exactly engagement. Of course, in some English dictionary, most English dictionary that you come across is actually translated engagement. But in the Jewish custom, it's actually not engagement in their own sense. Betrothal is as good as you are married. It's just that you have not consummated your marriage. You have not, the girl has not moved into the man's house, but they are technically married. A violation of that particular covenant at that time means you are divorced. That's how powerful it was. And that's why the Bible is able to refer to Joseph at this time as the husband. All right? It wasn't boyfriend. It was husband. Why? Because she was already betrothed to her. To him. So at this time, there was a covenant relationship already taking place, and it usually takes place in the presence of witnesses. In other words, there will be people that will witness that particular betrothal ceremony, as it were. And so technically, they are husband and wife, even though they are not living together. They have not consummated their marriage. There is no sexual relation of any kind. But they are as good as husband and wife. All right? And that will take place, and that will take another 1 year to happen. All right? So the period of betrothal usually takes around 1 year. And then you now, the third stage is now marriage. The proper marriage is now going to be set, and there's going to be at least one week wedding. Thank God I didn't leave that time. 1 week wedding. That's spending, okay? And if you are a man, it's not what you want to do. Praise God. Don't tell anyone. That's 1 week, you know, of marriage. Of wedding, drinking and eating all over. People. So it's not something you do in a few hours and you run away. You're going to be there. You're stuck with it for at least 1 week. And then afterwards, you're going to get, why are you laughing? And afterwards, you're going to get your wife. Okay. So, but at the point of betrothal, you are already in a covenant relationship. And it's a covenant relationship that I said can only stop when you violate that covenant relationship, you go into divorce. Now, it was at the second point of betrothal, that Mary was and that Joseph was. I don't know exactly what point, but it was just the 1 year period of betrothal that this voice came to them. And this voice changed their lives forever. It was a major interruption. I mean, think about it. A young girl is just going to get married. All the preparation is already going on. Contact with friends and you know, the little ladies talk. So what sort of top are you going to wear? What sort of gown are you going to have? What sort of shoes? Oh, is it Gucci? You know, all those things that girls come with when you want to get married and you feel, oh God, where am I going to get money for all this? But she would have come for all that. You know, she would have, there was a dream, a hope, an aspiration. The particular way that this girl wanted her life to be, I mean, she already knew the man that she was going to be married to. All of a sudden, the voice came and everything changed. You're going to have a son, and his name will be Jesus, and he will save the world from whatever. The angel came with the message, Mary, I'm sorry, I will have to interrupt your vision here. I will have to interrupt your aspiration and your hopes and your dreams, because you're going to get married, or rather, you're going to get pregnant. And of course, it was normal for the young lady to ask, how will it be? I don't even know a man. Because don't forget, they are still engaged. They are not married. So they have not consummated their marriage. Mary at this time was still going to be living with her family, even though she was already considered married to the young man called Joseph. So it was a complete interruption of their plans and of their vision. She was told she was going to get pregnant. And, you know, I keep wanting to say she was going to get married, because even till now, it still doesn't make sense to me that you will get pregnant before marriage. You know, but that was what happened to her. You are going to get pregnant, and you are going to deliver the Holy One. And the young lady said, "How is it going to be?" He said, "Don't worry. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power from on high will overshadow you." Even till now, it was not an explanation. It was a declaration. There was no explanation given as to how it will happen. It was just a declaration of this is what will happen. It was not going to be natural. It was going to be supernatural. All right? And that was the voice. Each time, more often than not, when the voice of God will come to us, it comes and it brings interruptions into our lives. It brings a stop, a complete stop. And sometimes it's an eraser. It erases the future that you have planned for yourself. And so you need to think again. Because over the past few weeks, we have been asking of the Lord, speak to me. I want to hear your voice. You need to think again before you ask him to speak to you. Because when he will speak to you, his voice is going to bring some kind of interruption into your life. And that was what happened to this young man and this young lady. Now, this young lady was pregnant. Of course, he didn't know where to go. The Bible calls the husband, in this instance, Joseph, a just man. A just man means a blameless man, a good man, all right? Not just a man in tie, you know, he's a good man from the heart, okay? That's not to say my tie is not looking nice, praise God, okay? but this man was a good man from the heart. And there were three options that this man had. The first option was to let people know that he was not the one responsible for the pregnancy, because he needed to keep his integrity. People knew him as a blameless man, a just man. And for you to get that particular accolade in their time, you must really work hard religiously. And that was his status. So he needed, the first option was, look, I am not the one responsible for this. I don't know anything about this pregnancy, at least to keep his integrity, his status as a blameless man. That was the first option. But the problem with that first option is the fact that that would mean that this lady that we're talking about, this young lady, Mary, that we're talking about, must have got that pregnancy illegitimately from another man. And according to Deuteronomy chapter 22, this girl have to be stoned to death because she has just committed adultery, because she has already been betrothed to a man. That was the first option that Joseph had. The second option was that, well, I'm a good man. Let me just do it secretly. Secretly does not mean I'll just run away and just delete his contact from my phone diary. No. Secretly means that rather than getting many people to witness the occasion that was supposed to happen, You will just get one or two people, because the Bible says at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. At least you must get witnesses, because you got witnesses when you were being betrothed as a young lady to the man. So for him to break the betrothal, you will need to do it secretly, means that you will need to just get two or three people who are going to witness the breaking of the bond and of that covenant. And that was what Joseph was going to do. And to be honest with you, that was the highest that any man can do. Put yourself in that shoe as a man. I mean, you were just dating a girl, and all you found out was that there was a pregnancy, and then there was this noise in the city that, well, the pregnancy just came there, you know, for no reason. From where? For no reason. Think about it, what you're going to do. Number one, you have your integrity to proclaim or to protect if you've got one. And number two, you need to set the record straight that you were never involved in any adulterous living, because it was a big thing to them in those days. It's cool now. In our own generation, it was not cool at all at that time. You are as good as going to grave when you are caught in such a circumstance. Okay? So for him to have even thought that he was going to secretly cut himself off from this young lady, I give kudos to him. He was a good man, just like the Bible says. Now, but there was a third option that no man was going to consider. And the third option was that you would take this girl and you would take care of this pregnancy as if it was your own. And unfortunately, in this instance, as God was interrupting the life, or the voice of God was interrupting the life of this young girl, the same voice came to the man as he was on bed, thinking that he was going to secretly divorce or secretly cut away this relationship with this young girl. And the voice says, you know what? You're taking the third option. You're taking that girl. You're taking care of that pregnancy. You're taking care of that child as your own. As a matter of fact, I'm handing her and the baby in her womb over to you as their father. That's a major interruption. That means there is not going to be any bachelor's eve as planned. That means there is not going to be eating and drinking as planned. That means you're going to cover your head in shame. You're going to actually physically escape from the company of your friends. That's a major interruption, people of God. And that's what happens when God's voice, that's usually what happens when the voice of God comes to us. It will interrupt your plans. It will interrupt your hopes. It will interrupt your dreams. It will interrupt your aspirations. It will make you to erase your future and start afresh within the voice of God. That was exactly the experience of these people at the first Christmas. Their lives was suddenly interrupted. To a lesser level, the shepherds in the field also experienced the same. They've already done a good work, a hard work during the day. They were camping at a particular place in the evening, and then with the sheep and the shepherd. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory shone around them. And their sleep or whatever rest or whatever they were planning to do was rudely interrupted. And the next thing they were going to do was to go and find a baby that was born by a woman, an unknown woman, in an unknown place, in a manger for that matter, and they needed to go there immediately. Their night was interrupted. If you are a cool guy like me that likes sleep, my sleep very well, that was not going to be a funny idea, you know, because it was not the time for them. They had been there all day long. Why didn't the angel come? Mary had been there all years long before he was betrothed to Joseph. Why didn't the voice come? Why should it be at the point of betrothal? Perhaps maybe the angel should even have waited until they got married, because nobody was going to know what happened. Let them get married and tell Joseph, sleep in that room. Mary, sleep in that other room. Okay? No coming together. That would have protected their integrity. But that did not happen. Because more often than not, where the voice of God comes, it's a matter of, do you want to choose my voice or you want to choose your life? And that's exactly what the question I'm asking you this morning, people of God, as we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. The voice of God that you have had in times past, the interruption that is attached to it, is so major, it's not significant that many of us have walked away from it. And unfortunately, most of us that walk away from this voice in times past are still the same one asking God, Lord, speak to me. And his voice is, go back to the last thing I told you. Because until you take step to meet with the demand of the last command, no new voice. No new voice. Now, let's move forward, people of God. Now, these things, like I said, the voice of God, when it comes with interruptions. Just note this down. Great things are born when people's life becomes interrupted by his voice. Great things happen when people's life become interrupted by his voice. Now, so this has happened, and these people were a bit confused as to what to do. But it has always happened in times past as well. Each time God wants to do any major miracle, the lives of people are just interrupted. You remember in Genesis chapter number 12, Abraham was just in his father's house enjoying himself. The Bible says, and the Lord spoke to him, get thee out of your father's house and out of your kindred to a land that I will show you. You remember about Moses in Exodus chapter number 3. He was just a cool guy in the wilderness, running away from Pharaoh and Egypt. And then the voice of God came, and it interrupted his plan completely. And he asked him to go and face Pharaoh. You remember Peter and John? They were just doing their fishing work, you know, very cool with their fishing work. And then Jesus came, and the voice came. Would you like to be fishers of men? Who told Jesus that they wanted to be fishers of men? And that was the interruption that came. The son of Zebedee, James and John, you remember? They were fishermen. And then they were doing their business, and then the voice came and interrupted their lives. All over the scriptures, you will see the voice interrupting people's lives and cutting them short from what they have aspired to do, what they have aimed at, the goals, their aspirations in life. But that's not the only thing. Now, if you do really need a miracle in your life, if you are saying yes to a miracle, then you need to hear his voice. Now, that you desire to hear his voice, you need to say yes to that. And if you are saying yes to hearing his voice, then you are automatically saying interruptions, please come through. Because that's what usually happens when the Lord speaks to us. Now, apart from the fact that their lives was interrupted, now, God always, at the point of meeting with people and giving them a voice, always requests for something. Now, in the case of these people, God requested for the womb of Mary. And he requested for the hand of Joseph. What do I mean by the hand of Joseph? Because the angel of the Lord told him to take the wife. So figuratively, we can say he was requesting for the hand, the covering, the protection of Joseph. And he was asking Mary, let me have your womb. If you remember a few weeks ago when we were talking about hearing God's voice, and we said what was the most important thing, the core reason why God speaks to us. And we said he speaks to us because he wants to make us disciples. Because the Bible says, my sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me. So followership is at the center of hearing God's voice. And we say when you follow Jesus, you are a disciple of his. And Jesus does not disciple people who want to take. He disciples people who want to give. You don't become like him by what you get. You become like him by what you take. You don't become like him by being served. You become like him by serving. You don't become like him by being contributed to. You become like him by contributing to. And that's the whole paradigm shift that takes place in the concept of what is at the center of God's heart when it comes to his voice speaking to us. So when God speaks to us in this context, he always requests for something. And the question today is, would you like to give him what he's requesting for? Because some of the things that he's going to be requesting for, you're going to be difficult. A young woman, a virgin, how can God be requesting for the womb of this man, of this woman? And he was also, as it were, at this instance, requesting for the hand of Joseph. And he always requests for something from all of us at one point or the other. Now, let me say this clearly. God requested for the womb of this young woman called Mary because God knew that he already had her heart. If God never has your heart, he won't require you to give what you've got. Because everything that you've got comes from your heart. He requested for the hand of Joseph because he knew he had Joseph's heart. The question this morning, people of God, is that does God have your heart? Does God have your heart? Can you request for what is in your hand? Because before God talks about your expertise, your experience, your money, your possession, what he wants to first know is that, do I have the possession of your heart? And your heart is very critical in this instance. And I'm saying this especially for people who are present here who don't know the Lord Jesus. That's the place to start. You don't start giving God what you've got when you have not given God who you are. Your heart is more critical and more important. And it goes beyond just visiting church. You may be in church. You may be the peer in church. You may be the chair in church because of your visitation to church. It has been so many times. But does God have your heart? Because that's the place it starts. And the heart of man is so critical and so important in the salvation story, because until God has your heart, nothing interests him about you. Nothing interests him about what you've got. And in a short while, I'm going to give an opportunity for people who says, I don't know Jesus. I don't have him in my heart. My heart has not been given to him. I've attended church all my life, but I don't know him as my personal Lord and Savior. That's where Christmas begins, people of God. That's when Jesus is born into your heart. Because until he takes hold of your heart, he has no reason to ask you for your womb. He has no reason to ask you for your hand. He has no reason to ask you for your expertise, for your experience, for your money. He does not have any reason. He doesn't have interest in them, to be honest, because your heart is more important. It's so critical. It's the center of it all. And it is not a fool who gives up what he cannot keep to get what he cannot afford to lose. I'll say that again. He is not a fool who gives what he cannot keep to get what he cannot afford to lose. Your heart is so sensitive that you cannot, and I say cannot, you cannot keep it. I have seen people in our day and time who think that their heart belongs to them and they can do whatever they want to do with it at any point in time. But I laugh. You are too incompetent to handle your heart. Your heart was made by God, belongs to God, and until you give it back to the one that owns it, no rest, no peace, whatsoever form or shape. Like I said, he is not a fool that gives up what he cannot keep, your heart, to get what you cannot afford to lose. What can you not afford to lose? Eternal life. You cannot afford to lose eternal life, and you cannot afford to keep your heart. So you better give your heart to a person who can keep it so that you can get what you cannot afford not to have. Okay, that's where it starts. So have you given your heart to Jesus? Does he have a possession of your heart? Like I said, it has nothing to do with you going to church or even serving in church. It has to do with a personal relationship with God, and that's where Christmas begins, until Jesus is born in your heart, people of God. But let's take it a step further. And like I said, I'm going to give a short period of inviting you into the family of God, the beautiful family of God, at the end of the service. And I'm going to pray for you from here, and I'm just going to believe that the Lord is going to touch your heart and you're going to start on a fresh... How cool is it to start on a fresh page with God on such a day like this as you celebrate Christmas? All right. As believers, you say, yeah, I've given my heart to Jesus, and I love him. Now, that is predicated on the fact that he's going to be tested. The extent to which you have given your heart to Jesus is going to be tested by how much you can allow interruption into your heart by his voice. What I mean by that is, to the extent that you are willing to give what you've got to him, that's to the extent to which you have surrendered your heart to him. Because Mary, in this instance, could have said, no, look for some other dude, some other cool virgins. She was not the only virgin in the city, I believe. Go and look for some other people. I love my marriage. I love my man. I don't want any chaos. I don't want any trouble. I don't want any conflict. I'm just in love with him, you know. I'm just in love with him. I don't want any interruptions of whatsoever kind. And she would have missed out of this opportunity. Joseph would have said, well, what you're saying to me doesn't even make sense. Why is it that it's just my girl, the girl I'm going to marry in the next few weeks or months, that you want to have his womb, or rather her womb? There are several wombs in the city, amongst the girls. Why don't you go for that if you're so much interested in the virgin? But these people, they gave what the Lord requested for, because there was going to be a major interruption into their life, but they knew that the one that was in possession of their heart has inroad into their life whatsoever he has requested for. People of God, as we celebrate Christmas today, what I want you to think about and ask yourself is this: how much of what I've got can God request for, and I will willingly give it to him? How much of my time, my talent, my intelligence, my service, am I willing to give to God? The interruptions that we're talking about could be very major. There are people that have abandoned their hopes and aspirations on the platform of seeking God's voice and of seeking and pursuing the things that God has told them. People of God, it does happen in our age and time. When God speaks to you, you drop something. You just drop something. You know, by God's grace, to an extent, I've experienced that, and so I can tell you. When the Lord will speak to you and he will say, will you, my son or my daughter, want to do this for me? It's a question of, will you want to drop your dreams and aspirations and do what I want you to do? And it will always come to us. God will ask for your time. Let me just tell you before time, okay? If you're going to walk with him to any effective degree, he's going to ask for your time. He's going to ask for your possession. He's going to ask for your expertise. He's going to ask for your money. That's not what you want. He's going to ask for your money. He's going to ask for your home. He's going to ask for your children. He's going to ask for your life. He's going to ask for your family. He's going to ask for everything around you. And until that is submitted to him, then there is a big question mark as to how much you have actually surrendered your heart, which is at the center and the core of your destiny, to his hands. That's where Christmas begins. The first Christmas began by interruption. The subsequent Christmas are being celebrated by interruptions. God is going to ask you for things. He's going to interrupt your life. And I just want you to willingly declare to the Lord as we enter into a new year, Lord, you hold my heart, if he does actually. Have your way in my life. Request for anything, you know. Be sure that you have thought about it before you say that, you know, because he will request for things. You know, not too long ago, when the Lord spoke to our heart about this church, you know, like any family and like any man, we had plans. You know, we had plans. And the interesting thing is, there was no part of our plan that included starting a church. We've always been part of a church, and we're happy with it. We serve in church. We've always been part of a church for years, you know, and we're so happy with it. We're so happy to support the ministry of God's word and stuff like that. But it was not part of the plan to start a church. And starting a church is not bread and butter, people of God. it's major work, especially when you're starting from zero. But that was the assignment that he gave to us. My year was already planned ahead. I had things I was going to do. I had courses, program that I was going to attend to. I had things to set in motion, you know, in the following year. In fact, that same year. But when his voice came, it was clear. It was clear that he needed us to start a church. He needed us to plant a church in this community and to minister the word through there. And he gave us clear instruction. I want you to raise the people that are enthused by the word, that are ennobled by self-service, and that are empowered by the Spirit. It was so clear, undeniable. But that means I needed to drop stuff, people of God. And can I shock you? Some of the things I drop, I've not recovered them now. And the interesting thing is, I may not recover them all my life. But I'm not saying that to you so that you can pity me, because your face just dropped now, okay? I'm not asking you to pity. I'm just telling you that that's the reality of life. The beauty of it is what God is asking you to devote your life to is far better than what you have planned, if you only surrender it to him. What he's requesting you to dedicate your life to is far better, much precious, than what you have planned. Now, think about it. If not for Jesus, who will think about Mary? Who will talk about Joseph? Who cared whether they got married? Who will be talking about the manger or whatever it was, you know, about them, if not for the fact that Jesus was there? That young lady surrendered her womb, and the Lord gave salvation to the world. I'm one of the people that believe that Mary and Joseph will have a special place in the heart of Jesus when we get to heaven. Because they allowed their lives to be interrupted by God's voice. And the same voice is still ringing today. He's still calling people for assignment. He's still giving people direction. He's still telling people what to do. He's still telling people what he needs, he wants from their lives. I don't want us to be too cool to the extent that we don't want to give it to him. Because at the end of the day, the things that matter are the things that he will do with your life, not the things you have planned to do. It's not a detour. It's not a diversion. It may be a complete amelioration of your plans and your visions. Give it to him. Give it to him. Life begins when God takes hold of your life and uses it the way he wants. That's when life begins. Give it to him. I'm saying that because in 2016, as we enter into it, the Lord is going to be requesting for things from you. Give it to him. Okay, just try 1 year with him. Give it to him. But I can tell you, you may not get it back. Give it to him. It is worth it. Never forget this. Great things happen when lives become interrupted by his voice. Let us pray.